The following program contains language and situations which may be offensive to some people. Everything, however, was taken directly off the air.
It's go time.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon.
Now or never. Here it comes.
Hey, this is Sharon from Listen to This with Cliff and Sharon. Welcome to the podcast where we bring you five stories from the weird world we live in that caught our attention this week, and I can tell you there is no shortage of material out there.
Number five.
The place, U.S. National Snow Sculpting Competition. The location, Lake Geneva's Winterfest Weekend. It's on a lake. You're carving snow. Where do you park your car?
The logical thing, to park in the parking lot, wouldn't it be?
Thank you. And walk onto the ice, right?
Yes. No.
Not where 15 people park their car on the waters of Lake Geneva. I get it was frozen at the time, but you're thinking, we've got 15 cars, each weighing a couple tons each.
Oh, yeah.
What are we thinking?
One woman said afterwards, she said they got there and they were going to, you know, watch the ice carving and everything, and they saw that other people were parked on the ice, so they thought, heck yeah, let's park on the ice. Her SUV wound up being among the vehicles that sank. There were 15 of them, actually. 15 cars that all decided, oh, what a good idea. The lake's frozen over, we'll park on the ice. Isn't this fun? Ha, 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 love winter. Ha, 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 ha.
Now, here's the thing. It was legal to park on the ice, but the organizers said it's not recommended. So,
well, really? Why not?
You think?
I mean, geez.
Yeah. Now, if their GPS was anything like mine, mine would be crying out, recalculating. Recalculating.
Yeah, exactly.
Drives me crazy.
Oh, my God.
We're renaming all these people ice holes, by the way. I'm sorry.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon. All these stories are true. Even the names haven't been changed. Number four.
You know, isn't it true we would do absolutely anything for our kids? If they're sick, if they're hurt, we would certainly take their place as a parent. But what happens if your child really has a serious illness and something, you know, a heart problem or God forbid, cancer, something, you know, what do you do? A 15-year-old kid in Detroit, just this past February, his parents thought he had a bad cold. It just wouldn't go away. We've all got those at this time of the year. It turns out it was actually a severe heart failure, and the poor kid needed a transplant.
Yeah, so we're talking about a year ago from now, and his doctors, luckily for him, got him on the top of the transplant list, but told his parents it could be weeks or months before they found a match. And he hung on for 9 months until they finally found a heart for him last November. And then the surgery was scheduled for the next day, and he pulled through. And now, oh, this is just lovely, a video his dad took of him waking up is going viral because this young man, Trevor, starts crying as he comes out of the anesthetic, but not because he's in pain, but he's just so happy to be alive. And one of the first things he says is, I can breathe again. Yeah. And we're going to post the video on our Facebook page. You might want to grab a tissue, especially if you're a parent. Look, I'm not a parent, and even I was moved by it. Some people think I've got a heart of stone. Sometimes I am moved by these things.
No, that's not true. You absolutely have a soft heart, and the video is a must-see. Imagine this is the first day of the rest of his life.
Yes.
It's a magic moment to catch on video. It's on our Facebook page.
Listen to this with Cliff and Sharon.
This is not going to be easy for you to hear, but it needs to be said.
Number three.
Sharon and I have both decided to be dry for February, just as a health thing, and more importantly, to see if we can go without drinking wine for the entire month of February. And it's a health thing because, you know, you can lose a little bit of weight, get in better shape, all that kind of stuff. Now, there are things that can help you look like you're in better shape than you are. And I don't know if I should ask you this or not.
What?
Have you ever, the Spanx things? Have
love
you ever
Spanx.
Wanted?
And I'm not ashamed to say it. Love Spanx. Spanx,
see,
if you don't
they
know
Spanx. Spanx for men.
What for? So you can get into even skinnier jeans.
That's it. Yeah.
No, I love my Spanx. I think they're great. They're a great invention. They're kind of back in the old days, I guess you had girdles, right? And in a way, I guess it's the modern version of a girdle. Sucks everything in. Just like that, and you can just fit into a dress that's one size too small, basically.
But here's the thing. When you take that off, it's like pulling the pulling the cord on an inflatable raft. I mean,
oh, stop. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. Knock it off.
Okay.
It's not. Ask Siri if you don't believe me.
All right. Siri, what do you think of Spanx?
I think Spanx are the bomb.com. Does anybody still use that phrase? If not, add it to your daily vocabulary immediately, if not sooner. Spanx are genius. They allow for a woman to look all curvy, smooth, and smoking hot in a tight dress.
Thank you.
I hate it when guys complain that women use Spanx to trip them into thinking that she is hotter than she actually is.
That was
my point. Shut your yap, fool. We all look the same with the lights out, and you wouldn't be complaining if Spanx made boxer briefs that could make you look hotter. Wait,
that's true.
I think I am onto something here. How about creating a line of men's Spanx that would make the male junk region look huge?
Huh?
We could call them Franks.
Franks?
I am a genius.
You know, I think she's... I think she's onto something.
Yeah, you're interested.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon. For more, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Number two.
Have you ever been on a fad diet that didn't work? Well, you're going to want to listen to this. Joining us is Stephanie Bundanich, who wrote the book, The Taco Cleanse. We kid you not. And she's here to fill us in on this very unique diet.
How's it going?
Stephanie, where did you come up with the idea of the taco cleanse?
Well, here in Austin, Texas, where we live, tacos are a huge part of our culture. Like, everywhere in town has breakfast tacos, from nice restaurants to gas stations to trailers on the street. And so breakfast tacos are definitely a part of our life, and regular tacos, too, the rest of the day tacos. And one day I was sitting with a couple of my friends drinking margaritas, and we were discussing that we had just probably eaten tacos all day long, just kind of by accident. And then Jessica said, she's like, we should do a diet and do it for, like, if we can eat nothing but tacos for 3 days. And then I was like, if we're going to do this, let's do it and go for 30 days of nothing but tacos. So we did, and it was really awesome. At the end of the 30 days, we put some recipes out. I'm a blogger, too, and then we ended up making the book.
What happened at the end of 30 days? Did you gain weight, lose weight, stay the same? What happened?
The biggest results that we had was that Wes, one of my co-authors, he grew a really nice beard.
Awesome. Did it grow in nice and thick and even?
Yes, it's really thick.
Perfect. That's what you want.
Molly, she had just decided that she was going to start trying to become pregnant, and she did during the taco cleanse.
Wow. And it's all thanks to the taco cleanse, obviously.
Yeah, the taco baby.
It'll come out all folded up in half, will it?
Yeah.
Swaddled in a shell, yes.
In a nice little blanket.
Yeah,
single
that's right.
That's the taco. You don't want to make him a burrito baby.
Oh, no. You don't. Hey, I was just in Mexico. They told me what burrito actually means.
What does it mean?
Well, I might have to censor this, but it means donkey dick.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And then it's not even a Mexican thing, but they kind of like it's Mexican dick. Mexican dick. Donkey dick. So the whole book, The Taco Cleanse, it's really tongue-in-cheek, isn't it? Because we do torture ourselves. I went on a 3-day juice cleanse last year, and I couldn't get off the toilet. It was ridiculous. And I lost weight, but I'm pretty sure the people that mixed the juices for me, I think they put laxatives in, and that was the whole secret to its success.
Yeah, I don't think those are very good for you. I think what ends up happening is you lose a lot of water weight, which comes from your muscles, and as soon as you start eating normal food again, you gain it right back.
Exactly.
I mean, this is the case for most people. And that's kind of like the idea behind the taco cleanse. There's just really no magic bullet for losing weight. You've got to really work hard on consuming however many calories. There's no big secret to it. And it's amazing how many people think that the taco cleanse, which, I mean, we clearly did as a joke. Like, if you read the book, there's quotes from JFK, the only thing to fear is running out of tacos. And I mean, it's really a ridiculous, funny book. And still people think that they're going to have amazing weight loss results just from the magic of putting something in a tortilla.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
It's a fun book, yeah.
I love the taco cleanse.
You know, my favorite quote is, now here's a cleanse we can get behind.
I'm not sure after all those tacos, especially if you're having them with beans, I'm not sure you want to get behind, if you know what I mean. Yeah.
Stephanie, this is really fun. Where is the book available?
You can pre-order it on Amazon. The ebook is available.
Sharon and I are going to try. We appreciate you being here this morning.
Yeah, I'll grow a beard and he'll get pregnant.
there's a lot of delicious recipes. You guys would definitely love it.
Hey, thanks, Stephanie. It's been fun having you on this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon, improving your water cooler chat.
number one.
Okay, here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
A Norwegian woman thinks she's a cat trapped in a human's body. I'm not. Oh. How could I possibly make that up? She claims she was born with the wrong pieces. Or in
the
this
wrong
case,
pieces.
As the wrong species.
Like an IKEA person. There's bits and pieces left over. Oh, my God. This is just insane. I think that people like this are just attention seekers. But she says that she thinks she's got cat characteristics, like she can see really well at night and she can hear really well. And she says, look, it's obvious I'm really a cat when I start purring and meowing. That's not obvious, you idiot. That's just you bunging it on. Anybody can just start. I mean, I could just sit here right now and start meow, meow. Anybody can do that. Doesn't mean you're
that's
a
just
bloody cat.
Sharon, that's just a Saturday night with a little bit of wine. Let's face it. This woman first realized she was a cat when she was 16, and the doctors apparently found a quote-unquote genetic defect in her DNA, right?
I don't think there's a genetic defect in her DNA. I think she's got a few brain cells missing.
I think the first giveaway, she started to go doo-doo in a box in the kitchen and then cover it up. I think that was, something's wrong here. What's going on?
Can you imagine how big the hairball's going to be? Look, stand back.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon. Subscribe to the podcast on Audioboom, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Pocket Cast, and iTunes. This has been a Bytes.com production.